All right, good evening. Welcome again to Faith Bible Church, and glad that you could join us this evening for our evening worship service. I'm glad if you are with us, joining us through our website, and looking forward to going through a video again tonight of our evening message. And maybe some of you are also joining us through just the physical CD that you have been passed out. Hopefully these resources will be a blessing to you. Anyway, I hope you had a good day today and had a relaxing day, and trust that you are looking to the Lord to meet your needs during this difficult time. I think that we need to be careful as to just looking at it as such a difficult time. I think it's a good time for other things. Maybe there's some things that you can catch up on. Maybe there's other people that you just haven't had time to connect with. Who knows what's going on in your life, but I trust that you'll look at it as something that God has given to us, something that we can certainly use for His honor and for His glory. If anything else, I think that we need to use the time to pass along to other people that we can trust in the Lord, and that God is good, and that He is going to carry us through and continue to be good to His people. And so I hope that you are using this time for His glory. Anyway, again, welcome. Glad that you're here and that you can join us through these various ways. I want to remind you that if there's anybody that's not getting the updates, not getting communication from us, not receiving things, or if you have any technical difficulties, something not working with the videos or the audio or the CD, make sure you let us know. We don't know what's going on if you don't tell us. And so we're doing our best to try to get those things to you. But please communicate with us, and we're going to do our best to communicate with you. And I just want to, like I mentioned this morning, I want to also tell you, now is a good opportunity for you to reach out to other people, and let's be the body that God wants us to be and that Christ made us to be, in encouraging other people. Reach out with an email, a phone call, a text message, a physical note, or something like that, and be a blessing to each other. As far as I know, it sounds like the congregation is doing well. People are recovering, those that are sick doing well. But remember to pray for each other, that God would bless. Let me also mention, let's pray for our country during this time. Pray for our president. As he leads and guides, it's easy for the others to be critical of what he's doing and the administration is doing, but I'm sure glad I'm not in his shoes. I'm glad I'm not in these other officials' shoes making calls and making decisions. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the leadership. Let's pray for our church, that we can stick together and we can continue to be connected and learn and grow together. And then, of course, individually, the different things that are going on in our church. Let's pray for each other that we can be strengthened in His might, and that we can see the love of Christ. We can see the deepness and the fullness of His love in our lives. We need Him more than ever. All right, it's our opportunity again to get into the Word of God. Before we do that, let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing upon this before we get into the Gospels this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to look at your word, and that it will be a blessing to us. I pray that we would let it be a blessing to us, an encouragement. And God, in areas of our lives that we need to change, that we need to fix, we need to do a better job at, Lord, I pray that you give us the ability to do that. And I pray that we would be an encouragement to each other during this time. I pray that we can be a body, a unit, a family together, and that is trying to be a blessing, reaching out, striving together for the faith of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Lord, help us as we attempt to do this. Lord, we do pray for our government and the country, our officials, leadership, our president. God, I pray that you would please lead and guide and bless, and that you would help us to go through this time, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray that you would give these leaders wisdom from your word, and that they would take it from your word, Lord. So God, would you please bless? God, help us now as we look at your word, and that we can follow Jesus in his steps. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray, amen. All right, we're continuing on with our evening series, In Step with Jesus. And so with that, I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 14. Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 14. Let me give you the parallel gospel passages that go right along with this. So we have Matthew 18, 6 to 14, then we go to Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50, share the same story, a little bit different, but the same story. And then in Luke chapter 9, verses 49 and 50, just mention a few things about it. So we're not going to be looking at Mark and Luke so much this evening, but we are going to go to Matthew. So go to Matthew chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 6. As you are turning there, let me just mention that Jesus is still in the same geographic location. He's in Capernaum, a city that he spent a lot of time ministering in. And so Capernaum is up right at the very top of the Sea of Galilee, and you can find it. There's not a whole lot there now, but there are a few things, but that's where Jesus is spending his time here with his disciples. And so that's where we're at. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew's perspective of this story. Matthew chapter 18, let's start in verse 6, and we'll go through verse 14. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. All right, here we have this passage, and we're not going to look at all of these verses in depth. But I do want to pass along to you some truths that I think that we need to learn from this passage. I want you to discover truth this evening. I'm going to help you to do that. We're going to look at some things that we can obey then from the passage, and I would encourage you to be able to pass them along to somebody else that needs to hear these truths and applications as well. All right, let's go ahead and start with the first. He's talking about offenses here. You know, it's interesting that offenses, there's all kinds of ways in which people are offended. This passage is not so much talking about the offensive. Oh, I was offended at what he said. That goes against me and what I think. Or offenses here is just a little bit different. We'll talk about that. The word offend is to influence or to cause another to stumble or to fall or, in this case, even sin. So to offend is to be that tripping stone, that tripping mechanism in the trap that gets that animal or that thing to be trapped. To influence or to cause another to stumble, to fall, or to sin. So we're talking about offenses, and especially offending a fellow brother or sister. I want you to see the first thing here. Let's go to verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. the fact is, and this is the first point, the fact is that offenses are sure to come. He says, for it must needs be that offenses come. You know, there's two sides of the coin that we're that are mentioned here, or at least that we can look at. The one side is mainly dealing with the side of the source of the offense. So where it comes from. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But to start out with, the other side is the one that is being offended. Have you ever been offended by what maybe somebody said, maybe what somebody did, and it went against what you thought, and you were hurt? You were deeply offended by that. Offenses are sure to come. The passage starts off talking with that. You know, the offenses are sure to come. You know, although that Jesus is not dealing with this side of the coin in the passage, he does tell us that offenses are sure to come. You know, what can we learn from that? I can expect that somebody, when I get together with people, somebody's going to say something that offends me. You know, we don't like offenses. And it's not right when people offend us. Honestly, it's not right. This, and as I talk about this point, we're not condoning what other people say just because for us it might be important and helpful. Those to offend is wrong, and Jesus is going to get to that here in just a moment, that offenses are wrong. But I want you to consider just for a moment that we've got to be also careful when people say something or do something that offends us. Jesus says here, it's going to come. You can expect it. People are going to offend you. And the question that we need to ask is, how are we going to respond to that? We need to be prepared to properly deal with these offenses. You know, an offense could be purely an enticement or an influence from somebody else that causes us to sin. Now, I want to be careful here. James teaches us that the reason why we sin is because we give into our own flesh. It's not because somebody else made me sin or caused me to sin. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes people do certain things that influence us or are a part of that cause, or at least do something which influences us to sin. And that's going to come. And we need to be prepared when somebody is doing something that influences me. And I've got to make sure that I'm not being influential to do things that go against God. I've got to care more about what God thinks rather than what that person's going to think or whether what I even think. We need to be prepared that we're going to respond in a godly way. But surely, somebody's going to entice us or influence us in the wrong way. We need to be very careful that we're prepared for that. Maybe an offense could be something that would cause us to fear or to doubt. Certainly, there are things going on right now that cause us to worry, cause us to fear, cause us to doubt. And brothers and sisters, we need to be careful that we're not influenced that way. God tells us that he's not given us the spirit of fear. God tells us to be anxious for nothing. God doesn't want us to doubt. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We need to be careful to be prepared against the offenses that come, that cause us to influence us to sin or to cause us to fear or to doubt. Maybe, thirdly, it could be something that causes us to hurt. Oh, how many times has somebody done something that hurts us? You know, we're creatures that get hurt, maybe too easily, but hurt is real. It happens all the time. We need to be careful not to be hurt. Offenses are going to come. How can we deal with offenses in a godly and biblical way? I think that Jesus, very quickly, it's not the main point, but I think we need to be prepared to respond properly. You're going to be offended. How can we face it in the right way? But I want us next to see, number two, that offenses should never come from us. And that is the main point in what Jesus is trying to get across here. Offenses should not come from us. Look at verse 7 in Matthew 18. He says, woe unto them, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. So here we go to the source of the offense. He starts off with, but woe to that man. The word woe is an indication of God's displeasure. He says, woe to that man. Woe is an exclamation of grief. Jesus is grieved by that individual where that offense comes from. We as Christians should never be the source of offenses to anyone in the world, but I would say here in this passage and in this context, especially to those other brothers and sisters, other Christians. Again, offenses are surely going to come from the world. Offenses are surely going to come from other brothers and sisters, but they should never come from us. They should never come from me. I should not be the cause or influence of somebody else's stumbling. It grieves me when I have been that cause. It grieves me when I hear that somebody else followed my bad example. Oh, I'm reminded of that so often at home. I have 5 children and my wife, and there's certain times when I don't have the right attitude, or I don't have the right response, or I just do things that aren't godly, you know. And then I'm living my life and I watch one of my children do something, you know, almost immediately when I see them do it, and I know that I've had that problem in my life, and in fact I probably was the one that influenced them to have that wrong spirit or that wrong attitude. Oh, immediately the Holy Spirit pricks my heart and I think, oh, that was my fault. Woe unto me. Woe unto this man for whom that offense was caused. God is very clear here. We need to be so careful so that we don't cause somebody else to stumble. You know, we need to guard what we say. Oh, so much. James chapter 3 tells us how big our little tongues are. We need to be so careful with what we say. Honestly, folks, our tongues, even though they're little members, like James says, they are a big member. They are a world of iniquity. We need to be so careful what we say. Why? Because it causes people to be influenced. I would say that it influences people to sin. It influences people to fear and doubt. Our tongues influence people to be to do things they ought not to do. We've got to be so careful what we say. I've caught myself at home talking about somebody else and realizing, woe is me. My children are going to get things. I've heard them say certain things, and I say, you know what? They got that straight from me. They heard me talking that way. Wow, such an important responsibility that we have with what we say. We need to guard our tongues, guard our hearts. Now, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Woe unto that person, that man by whom the offense cometh. Folks, I want to encourage you to guard your tongue, watch your mouth, and make sure that we're not offending with our tongues, with what we say. We need to guard what we do. You know, God tells us here in this passage that we need to be very careful, you know, that these offenses don't come from us. You know, as we, you know, looked at this passage, we look at this, and he uses some different things. He says in verse 8, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee. You know, when I think of the hand or the foot, I think of the hand of action, things that we do, the things that I touch, the not just so much just with my hands, but the choices that I make, the actions. You know, the choices that I make with my hands or my actions, they influence other people. I wonder how many times I've done things in public, even at church, that people, other Christians, watched me do. And because of that, they said, you know what, I see the pastor doing that, and maybe it must be okay for me. Oh, woe unto me. Now, if it's a positive thing, it could be a very, very helpful thing, but here, an offense is something that is done wrongly. Wow, we need to be careful with what is done with our hands. He also refers to, in verse 8, the feet, or thy foot offend. I think of the feet as places where I go. The choices that I make to do in certain things at certain places. Certainly I've made choices to go to places where, I wonder as a Christian, I ought not to have gone. Or maybe it's at the wrong time. You know, we need to be so careful what we're doing when we do it. Not that you have to follow the same pattern, but one thing I'm clear to do, you know, on even days like today, or on Wednesday night, or times when the world knows that I'm supposed to be in church. Oh, it's amazing how many people know what we're supposed to, as Christians, be doing, even from the world. You know, as a practice that my family does, is we try not to be in places, you know, on a Sunday. Okay, maybe it's a snowstorm and I'm at home, or maybe it's something like this. There's a virus and we got to be at home, you know, or at least we shouldn't be in a public setting with a bunch of people. I watch very carefully how make decisions, the places that I go, because you never know. Even my neighbor that doesn't go to church, maybe they would say, I wonder why they're not in church tonight. I wonder why they're here. Folks, we've got to be careful that we're not a bad influence on other people with the decisions that we make, whether they're right things or wrong things. We need to be so careful how it's going to affect. I think the scriptures teach us to be prudent. The scriptures teach us to be circumspect. That word circumspect is looking around 360 degrees, looking around to see how I'm going to, in this context, influence other people to do other things, or being prudent, that I'm looking around, thinking of everything that I can. Now, I don't think that God is telling us to go crazy, just wondering what everybody's going to think, but I need to take into consideration, is what I'm saying, is what I'm looking at, is what I'm doing, is where I'm going to be a good testimony or a bad testimony? A lot has been made about the decisions of whether we should have church or whether we shouldn't have church. And I've heard of people on both sides of the coin, and Pastor, we can't give in to this, and or Pastor, we shouldn't do that. And I want to tell you the reason why we have chosen to go to just some online things and not meet. It's honestly not because we're so afraid that we're going to get sick, although I will say that I think that that is important. You know, it's amazing, something that I've not brought out to you yet, but it's amazing in looking at the Old Testament, seeing all the precautions that God put out to those people in the Old Testament under the law. And I understand that we're not any longer under the Old Testament law. But it's interesting that according to that Old Testament law, God cared so much about those people and protecting them from other disease. Have you considered that? Somebody else was talking to me about this, and I had never thought about that. But those things, you know, these people were supposed to be so careful to protect themselves so that they would be safe or that they could be healed, but other people wouldn't get caught with some of these diseases. You know, the people were instructed to stay away and to quarantine themselves and to stay away, and it was a godly thing to do it. And then only after a certain amount of days, when they didn't have this and they checked themselves and this was gone and this was gone, only then could they come and get checked out to see if they were okay. And in some cases they were, and they could join society again, but in many cases they were not, and they were supposed to seclude themselves, wait another 7 days until they were taken care of. You know, it's so interesting that God put so many regulations with that. I wonder, does God care about these things? I think he does. Another thing to consider, you know, I think there were other times when there were owners of an animal, an ox, that was known to be kind of wild, or maybe there was a reputation of going and goring that a person or another animal. And what did God want? God said, you need to put a fence around that animal. You need to protect them so that they don't go out and harm somebody else. God cared about our possessions and going out and affecting other people. Maybe you know where I'm going with this, folks. I think it's godly that we protect ourselves during this time. I think that God wants us to. I don't think it's silly and crazy, and I would certainly say this is not an attack on the church or God's people. This is effect on everybody. So I think that there is merit to saying, you know what, we have protection even physically and socially and godly and biblically with what we see in the Old Testament law. But honestly, I want to tell you the main reason why we have chosen to do what we're doing is because we want to maintain a good testimony. A good testimony with the world and what we're doing with other brothers and sisters, that we care about our authority, which we've been learning out about in 1 Peter. And so brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, we need to care about how we are coming across to our brothers and sisters, to the world. God says, woe to that man that offenses whom the offense cometh. And so just consider that just for a moment. Be careful what we say, what we do. Every area of our life we need to guard and protect from a bad testimony. People are watching. Certainly people are watching. I think the best illustration of that is the example with children. And it's interesting that Jesus is talking specifically here about children. Oh, children are so influenced. They listen, they're wondering, they're watching, and they are influenced by what adults do. So interesting. I think we're going to get into that in just a little bit here, a little bit more as we get to the third point. I just want you to see the third point, and that's the last point, that we must cut off the offenses so that we cannot, or that we will not offend. This is radical change that God is asking us to do. Now, he's clearly not telling us to cut off our hands. I don't think that God is wanting to self-mutilate or ask us to self-mutilate, you know, cut out our tongue or cut out our eye. Now, he's using that as an example, but that we rather radically change the way we act. He is asking us to take drastic measures with our actions and our words. And I would say that if our words are offending, then cut those words off. Stop using those words. If our actions are influencing people in the wrong way, I don't think that he's asking us to cut our hand off, but he's saying, listen, I want you to stop. I want you to stop doing those things. I care about that person. I care about that brother or sister. I care about that child that is watching you do things or is listening to you say things or is watching where you're going. Oh, brothers and sisters, be careful with these things. What are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you going? Where are you going on the internet? Where are you going with your phone? Where is it taking you? I'm going to tell you something. Your kids know what you're doing, where you're going. Other brothers and sisters in church know what's going on. Jesus is saying you need to take some drastic measures and cut those things off so that you're not offending your brothers or sisters. Folks, our testimony is so important. And Jesus is telling us this right here. How are your actions influencing your brothers and sisters? What about the children in the church? This is an amazing thing. You know, not to, well, maybe I do want it to scare you as adults in the church. My children watch you. I've told you this before. My children watch you. And although they don't sit around and analyze the people in the church, you know, I've got to be worried about that. But I would say this. I think that my children have a fair example. And it's not my children. It's not just my children. It's all the children. And really, it goes beyond the children. It's God's children. People know who you are by what you say, what you do, places you go, all the choices that you make. And I tell you, especially children are influenced. Children are influenced, and they watch, and you have a testimony and a reputation before these children of honestly, in their opinion, of what is godly. You know, my children in our church, they see what is supposed to be godly adults, deacons, deacons' wives, leaders. No matter whether you clean or whether you are whatever your position is in the church, you're known by the children as a supposed to be a spiritual person, a Christian, a saved person, and they're watching, and their little lives are being molded and changed by what you're doing. It's sad to see how many children have been influenced in a negative way. You know, many children have been turned off to religion. They've been turned off to church. They've been turned off to even even like things like being a pastor's child. So many pastors have their children have been affected maybe by the congregations that have been so tough and hard on their dad as a pastor. But in some cases, they've seen their parents be double-minded, and they've been turned off to it. Or maybe they've seen things in the ministry that have just been so hurtful, and they're influenced. And I wonder how many of these young people that have been turned away to some of these things, I wonder if it's come from adults or other people that have not been careful with their testimony, their words, their actions, the places where they're going, the things they're entertaining themselves with. And they look and they say, you know what? That person claims to be a Christian. That person is my Sunday school teacher. That person, they're a godly person. They're doing it. Well, then it's not a big deal for me to do it too. Oh, woe unto that man by which these offenses come. God says, make sure that you don't offend, and especially to these children. Every one of them, all are so special to him. Everyone, so attentive, so moldable, so influenced. We need to be careful, folks. We need to be careful. I think that Jesus is setting the example. Example to everyone. Example to our young people. All right. So here's the passage. And I know we haven't gotten into everything. But what have we discovered this evening? I think we see, first of all, we need to be careful how we respond and are prepared. Offenses are going to come to us. Oh, let's be careful that we respond godly and biblically, and let's do right no matter what other people do, influencing us in that way. How should this truth affect us? Okay, so we see that we got to be careful that we're not offended. Second of all, we need to make sure that we're not offending other people. Thirdly, we need to make sure that we cut off these things that are affecting others. All right, that's the truth discovered. How should this affect the way I live this week? I think for all of us, we need to stop and think, okay, you know what, I've not been careful with my tongue. I've not been careful with my actions or the places that I'm going. I've been very influenced by other things that people have done. I've been hurt. I've been offended. I've not taken drastic measures to get rid of all these things that are being influential. I've not been very careful around the children of my church. To demonstrate to them what a godly person is supposed to be like. What is it that God has put his finger on this evening that needs to change? God wants us to discover his truth. God wants to obey his truth. And then thirdly, what have I learned tonight that I could share with somebody else? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a long-distance relative. Maybe it's a neighbor. And I know that right now you're not getting together with a lot of people. But I wonder who God would have us to share the truth with. That's called discipleship. And God wants us to be disciples and make disciples. Who could you share this with this week? So important truths. God, help us not to be an offense. Well, that's the scriptures for the day. I trust that God has helped you with the morning message from 1 Peter chapter 4. And then tonight in the book of Matthew, let's follow Jesus and do what he's called us to do. I trust that you have a good week this week and be a blessing to others. If you have any needs, requests, things that we can pray for, please let us know. Keep in contact with us. Be in contact with each other. Let's be a blessing. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And then we will hopefully be in contact with you soon. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've given to us this day. It's your day. And Lord, we need your help. God, help us during difficult times. Help us to know how to respond to difficulties. Lord, I pray that we would be careful not to be the cause of any difficulties. Lord, many truths learned tonight. God, be with us this week. Watch over us and keep us. And Lord, may we soon be able to get back together, help our country, help the leaders. God, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. Give us a wonderful week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.